Find this podcast and others like it at the number one new media network, Podshow.com. Better, faster, stronger. And now with new minty fresh scent.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines, offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
Listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 77. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. And today we're joined at the top of the show by writer, activist, public speaker, and the executive director of Truth Runs Out, Wayne Besson, who's joining us today to talk about all the good stuff going on. Wayne, thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with us.
Hey, Wayne.
I'm thrilled to be on. I hope you're not too cold up there. I'm warm in Miami.
I know.
He's rubbing it in, folks. He's rubbing it in.
Rubbing it in. And well, let's just start there. I just have a question for you. If you have any thoughts on the big thing that they're saying was the big bomb of the Super Bowl. Now, most people here would say it's the Bears not having any chance to play offense. But but the big Snickers ad, was that anything that you've heard about and people have been... I mean, I know GLAAD's really upset about it. The Matthew Shepard Foundation's really upset about it, about the two men eating the candy bar.
Yes. Well, first, I do want to say I was upset the Bears lost. I am a Bears fan. So my heart goes out to the Windy City fans. I was sitting there with my father watching the Super Bowl, and I was horrified when this ad came on, the Snickers ad. This was a situation where people were laughing at us, not with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was blatant homophobia in its ugliest form. And I'm really glad that Snickers pulled this ad. And for those who haven't seen it, there were two mechanics who were working on a car under the hood. One of the mechanics takes out a Snickers bar, and the other mechanic eyes the bar, licking his lips. Suddenly, the other mechanic starts eating one end while the guy who's had the Snickers is eating the other, and their lips meet in the middle of this candy bar, and they inadvertently kiss. They're horrified. They're in a swivet. They're so upset that one of them says, "Hurry up, quick, we need to do something manly." Mm. And they rip their chest hair out. And, you know, the message was plain. There's nothing worse than a same-sex kiss. So that's something that is something to be made fun of, something disgusting. And we were the butt of this joke on national TV in front of millions of people. And they ought to be Mars Company. I don't know if their executives are on Mars or they're just plain nuts. But the Snickers ad was one of the worst I've seen in a long time.
Well, and it also was endorsed by the NFL, I believe. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? There was some contest?
They had some players in the NFL, and they showed them reacting to this kiss and acting all homophobic. It was just all around a despicable disgrace. And if it wasn't for the fact that Mars quickly pulled this ad, we would have probably thought about calling for a boycott. But, you know, the damage was done. Millions of people saw this ad. And how many young, impressionable gay teens are out there who were getting picked on in school because people thought they were gay? And the message of this ad is gay people are somebody, you know, it's okay to make fun of them.
Yeah. And the truth is, you're right. A lot of people did see this because it was the third most watched show in television history.
Wow.
This Super Bowl. It was the third most watched. Still number one is the finale of MASH, but it was the number three watched television show ever in history. And it's just like, you're right. Like, a lot of people saw that. I'm wondering if people are going to ask Mars to do something publicly, or, you know, should we be trying to do something besides just having them pull it when, as you said, the damage is done?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's not much to do. It's hard to organize. It's hard to organize much protest after they pull the act. So I think people are just going to have to vote their conscience in the supermarket and not buy their products if they were disgusted by it. And I think they should still write the company and call the company and let them know, express their opinion that this was something that was unacceptable. I mean, this whole notion, too, that a same-sex kiss is this unmanly and gay people are unmanly. How many examples do we have of professional athletes like Billy Beane and Sarah Tuohola, the professional football player who came out, and David Coppe, another football player? How many of our servicemen and women have to die in wars, the ultimate sacrifice and courage? How many times, I mean, do we have to witness these things before this whole stereotype is blown out of the water? Right. And quite frankly, that some of the bravest people are the ones who fit the stereotype. I mean, these big macho football players flexing their steroidal muscles, you know, I mean, how brave are they? Let's see how they would live one day as a trans person trying to walk out into a hostile society.
Yeah.
Would they be mentally tough enough to take that? I don't know.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting that you mentioned youth, because that's another story that you think is a has been a big hot story, and that's about the ex-gay group's attempt to get into Virginia schools right now. Talk to us about that.
The PFOX group.
An ex-gay group called Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays has been trying to get into both Virginia and Maryland schools for quite a while, and it's really quite threatening to students when you look at the fact that the president of this organization, Richard Cohen, this is somebody who belonged to a cult that practiced nude therapy, and he tries to cure people by having them bang a tennis racket against a pillow while yelling the name of their mother or father. So we're talking about something who's highly disturbed, and because he was disturbed, was kicked out of the American Counseling Association for malpractice. Yet, despite this incredibly scary track record, this group is trying to get into the schools and influence children. Fortunately, there's a group called Teach the Facts. I think their website's teachthefacts.org. In Maryland, at least, that's fighting back pretty hard. Some real smart, savvy parents that have said enough of this insanity. But these ex-gays have had some success, and the reason is they're backed by deep pockets of Jerry Falwell, his legal group, Liberty Counsel. What they're doing is going around the country right now, and they're starting to do this. We're in Maryland and Virginia, the tip of the iceberg. We saw another case in Wisconsin last year, and they're trying to get ex-gays into both the curriculum and as speakers. And if schools refuse on the grounds of common sense and the grounds of the fact that the grounds that every respected medical and mental health organization in the country rejects these ex-gay groups, this legal organization, Liberty Counsel, and others threaten to sue the school districts. Mm-hmm. And they're really terrifying some of these administrators that don't want to protract a legal battle. That's why we have to be very vigilant about this. There are forces at work out there with these trying to get this ex-gay message out, and they're targeting kids. And do you know why they're doing this? Because poll after poll shows that the next generation is more supportive of gay rights.
Right.
Absolutely.
It terrifies groups like Focus on the Family and Falwell, because they know if they don't change this equation, we are going to win full equality in the next generation or so.
Right.
And they're doing everything in their power to reverse this trend. And that first thing they're doing is going after the education system. I mean, it's really, it's really ignorance over education. That's what they want to triumph.
Well, and it's interesting too, because they're being given continually, and this is something I think that you're always really pounding the pavement about, they're given forums in which to talk. And, you know, I think one of the things that came out with so much attention was the Time Magazine article with James Dobson, you know, being touted as some sort of expert. Can you tell everybody about that story?
Yes, James Dobson was asked to write a guest opinion piece for Time magazine. They asked him to do so to comment on Mary Cheney's pregnancy, the vice president's daughter.
Isn't that just insane and already? I mean, right just there. Saying that. I mean, you could definitely say somebody who might have reservations or issues, but to pick somebody so vigilantly opposed to somebody's pregnancy in Time magazine, I mean, who was the editor that thought that was a good idea? I mean, it's insane.
Well, it was a shameful pick. I mean, to have James Dobson discuss LGBT parenthood in any public forum is unacceptable. And the reason is he has a track record that's long and deep and wide of distorting research. In fact, this year alone, there have been 6 researchers that have said that James Dobson twisted, cherry-picked, distorted, or misrepresented their work. In fact, Truth Wins Out has gotten letters from several of them. And in fact, Truth Wins Out's working on a project now where we're actually filming these professors from Yale and from Harvard and from NYU, from Columbia. And we're filming these professors, some of the most famous ones in the country, like Carol Gilligan, the author of A Different Voice. and Kyle Pruitt. We're filming these individuals saying that they're mortified. By the way, James Dobson, the Focus on the Family, had twisted and smeared their work. And in fact, we're going to be releasing very shortly the Kyle Pruitt video. We've already released the Carol Gilligan video, and also one from Dr. Robert Spitzer of Columbia University, whose work is routinely distorted by Focus on the Family. So I think we're building a very solid case to make sure the next major magazine doesn't make the same tragic and embarrassing mistake that Time did.
Now, how do you get those videos out, and how can people see those responses?
Well, they can go, they're on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and just type in the word Mary Janey or Carol Gilligan, like the island, that will come up. Our Truth Wins Out. They will come up and you can watch them. And I highly urge anybody who's interested in activism or equality or just simply integrity in science that they go check out these videos and see that James Dobson likes to pretend he's his grandfather of the nation, but he's not a grandfather. He's more like a grand forger who can't get his facts right. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do everything in our power to expose this man as the fraud that he is.
Yeah. It's truly, I mean, it's insane. And I hope that people, you know, as you said, I hope editors of magazines and publications will see these videos and really understand what damage was made.
Yeah, and we understand that they're busy, and we understand that they have a lot to do. And the way this media environment is, it's very little time to fact check like there used to be. It's 24-hour news cycle. So I think if Truth Wins Out, we want to make it as easy as possible and build a rock-solid foundation of a case that we can take to these editors across the country and say, hey, don't use James Dobson as a spokesperson because he is incapable of saying anything truthful.
Right.
Mm. And here's our examples. And just don't take it from us, the gay and lesbian activists. Take it from the very people he's been quoting.
Right.
Obviously, he respects these people enough to quote them, yet they don't return the respect. They think this guy is an absolute person who has no regard for honesty, truth, or integrity, and we're calling him on it.
Right.
Well, you know, you mentioned a little bit about video, and there's even more nastiness going on with the ex-gays and selling fraudulent videos and things like that. I believe that, was it the Michael Johnson case?
The Michael Johnson case is the most outrageous example of right-wing fraud I've ever come across. And here's the story. In 1998, Michael Johnston was one of the kings of the ex-gay ministry. He was Jerry Falwell's personal ex-gay, and he appeared in a million-dollar advertising campaign about praying away the gay that appeared in major newspapers across the country, as well as a TV ad campaign. Almost everybody in America had heard his story. In fact, he founded the National Coming Out of Homosexuality Day, a sort of parody of National Coming Out Day. And here he was on his high horse saying he had prayed away the gay, except it was too late. See, before he found Jesus, he got AIDS. And it turns out that I got a call from a man who was representing a client who thought he may have been infected by Mr. Johnston, And I went down to Virginia, and I interviewed a couple people who had had sex with him and even saw a videotape of him in action. Here he was having an orgy, unprotected sex, even though he knew publicly that he was HIV positive. And he was doing this while he was a spokesperson for the religious right. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's fast forward now. He's exposed. He's disgraced. He, in the middle of the night, he slithers away to a sex addiction facility in Kentucky, not to be heard from for a few years. Suddenly, he reemerges as a spokesperson for this place called Pure Life Ministries, if that isn't a misnomer, with this guy in charge. And you've got Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, an Illinois-based group that's promoting this video, and you've got the American Family Association selling this video to unsuspecting Christians, their supporters, and they don't even bother to tell their own members and supporters. They don't even bother to tell him that this guy had this terrible past and had failed. I mean, you're talking about not respecting your own members.
Yeah.
It's just outrageous. And what we did at Truth Wins Out is we filed complaints with the Attorney General of Illinois and also Mississippi, where these videos are being sold or promoted by these two groups. And, you know, of course, we're well aware that the bar is incredibly high to win such a case or get it taken seriously. But what we did accomplish was we got these ridiculous groups, we got them to over on right-wing websites and Concerned Women for America's radio show, World Net Daily, and their own sites. So we were successful at least in right-wing media, so their own people wouldn't be suckered and duped and fooled.
Yeah. Don't you think they kind of want to be suckered and duped? And do they just want it to be as awful as, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
fire and brimstone, it sort of affirms all that.
Yeah, do they just kind of want it to be, you know, that the homosexuality or whatever he's purporting, an addiction, sex addiction,
that
it is that bad? I mean, do they just want to buy that bill of goods? Is that why they don't check and they don't question?
Well, I think you're talking, I think there's a lot of really good people out there who have just been brought up the wrong way.
Yeah.
They've just been brainwashed into believing, things they've heard all their lives.
Right.
And all of a sudden their son or daughter comes out and they're desperate and they're vulnerable and they look to a familiar voice for answers, which are groups like the American Family Association. They see they've got some product that says you can be cured of your homosexuality. And they buy this tape thinking it's going to help someone they care about. Unfortunately, the American Family Association and Americans for Truth don't have the morality and the value system to tell their own members, these desperate and vulnerable people, try to help their families. They don't even have the morality to tell them that this cure did not endure.
So, it's really, what's really great is that while the conservative agenda is pushing this forward without care or concern of, what kind of uninformed, inaccurate information that they're trying to push out there based on fear, based on their fear of us now, based on the fear of youth changing their opinions. It's really great that Truth Wins Out is always at the forefront of this fight and of this just truly making us aware, because if we're not aware, then we can't take action. We don't know who our enemies are. And I know, Wayne, you've said on our show before, it's really important that we know who these enemies are. Mm-hmm. We need to keep them close to us and watch what they do. And so I so appreciate you coming on the show, and we got to have you on more frequently because it's starting to get, the war's going on out there.
Oh, yeah. And I really, I love the show, and I'm thrilled to be on anytime. There's a lot to talk about. We're very powerful and wealthy opponents that are unrelenting. So we have to be vigilant to make sure that is our organization says the truth does win out.
Yeah, absolutely. And people can check out your website at truthwinsout.org. And, I encourage you to go there, put it on your favorites and all the, every time you check, you'll find something new that Wayne is on the forefront of knowing about and definitely telling you if there's something you need to get active about, then he'll let you know. Wayne Besson, thanks for being on with us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Guess who we got to star in Legends? The hilarious comedy by James Kirkwood, Joan Collins, and Linda Evans together again for the first time since Dynasty. Of course they get along. Gotta go. That's Joan. Angel, isn't it thrilling?
No, I never dreamed Linda would be acting with me again. If you call that acting.
That must be Linda. Linda, sweetheart, I was just talking to Joan.
Really? Well, I've always enjoyed her work, ever since I was a little girl.
Are you talking to Linda? Find out if she's still in show business.
Is that Joan? Find out if she's still alive.
Hang on, I'm patching you through on conference call.
Joan?
Linda?
Darling!
I thought you were dead.
Joan Collins and Linda Evans live on stage in Legends, the comedy about big stars and bigger egos.
Need a vacation from your holiday? Crave some real relaxation and cuddle time without Cousin Susie watching your every move? Not to worry, GayHotelDiscounts.com is here to help. If you're a queen in need of a king, bed that is, you can find the luxury you desire at a price you can afford. Powered by the strongest search engine on the web, GayHotelDiscounts.com are your gay travel experts.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
While lesser men strapped on skates and played hockey, you donned skin-tight leotards and a teeny cowboy hat and learned figure eights.
Going round and round.
You practiced and practiced, hoping, knowing, someday you'd be good enough to wear a giant puppet costume and skate in an ice show.
Welcome to the big time.
Skate perfectly and you're a crowd pleaser. Mess up and fall on your butt and you're still a crowd pleaser. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, oh Titan of the Tights. You may never wear a medal, but sequins are shiny too.
Mr. Professional Figure Skater.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of February 5th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
The Wooden Breeks is playing now at the Looking Glass Theater in the Water Tower Waterworks. Heidi Stillman directs Glenn Berger's masterful tale of a man tormented by the memory of his beloved and stuck in his own story. Join dreamers, schemers, and would-be lovers navigating their way through the murky Scottish town of Brood. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit lookingglasstheater.org.
About Face Theater presents Execution of Justice, Emily Mann's landmark play exploring the assassination of Harvey Milk, the trial of Dan White, and the infamous Twinkie defense. This must-see production, directed by Gary Griffin of Broadway's The Color Purple, is playing now at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse, 2257 North Lincoln. For tickets to Execution of Justice, call 773-871-3000 or visit aboutfacetheater.com.
And Northwestern University presents the Tony Award-winning director Mary Zimmerman's version of Shakespeare's Cymbeline. Watch as Zimmerman makes this romantic world unfold. Cymbeline is playing only through the 18th, so call now 847-491-7282 for more information.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
This is Logan Schwarzengrubenier from the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And my two dads and I are completely buzzing about this week's Bee in My Bonnet. This bee is as out of control as the new Nintendo Wii gaming system. Since it came out, I have been literally glued to the news feature on my Nintendo Wii. And I've learned some interesting facts. For example, none of the movies nominated for Best Picture this year are documentaries. Contrary to my assumption, Babel is not a compilation of speeches by President Bush. The Departed is not about the Republican Congress. And The Queen is not about my dad's hairdresser, Roberto. This is Logan Schwarzengrubenier, and that's the Bee in My Bonnet. Be sure to check us out on the web at spellingbeethemusical.com/Chicago.
And hey, everybody, stay tuned because later on in the show, I'm going to be sitting down with a whole handful of the cast of Caged Tapes. It was so fun. And we were just hanging out in the theater.
You got to see the show.
You got to see the show.
This is going to make you want to see the show.
Totally. We talked about everybody's characters and we talked about this fantastic production company, Handbag Productions. You can find them at handbagproductions.org. They've got all kinds of juicy bits and
pieces.
They did
the Poseidon Upside Down.
They did Scary the Musical.
Yep, Scary.
They did Whatever Happened. How Whatever Happened to Baby Jane Happened to Baby Jane.
Happen to Baby Jane?
I don't know, but
that
I know
would be
how.
That would be my late night version. What did happen? That shit used to scare me when I was a kid. That movie. I remember being at my friend Marty Bingham. I can't believe I'm remembering her name. I was at my friend Marty Bingham's house, and that came on, and she had this bedroom that had lots of dolls and lots of little low-lying chairs, like little rocking chairs with dolls on them.
That's scary.
Scare the frick out of me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Terrifying.
I hadn't thought about that in years. I hadn't thought her name in years, but
two cases of vodka and a case of bourbon.
And you are in that chair, Blanche. Oh, and she brings her the bird. Oh,
I know. It's terrifying.
Anyhow.
The rat.
The handbags. It's a bird.
Didn't she cook up a rat? No, did she just cook up a bird?
It's her bird that she has.
Oh,
it's
that's right. Where's the bird? Oh, those eyebrows. So delicious. Anyway.
Crazy. We'll be
the Caged Dames, David Sert, and all the other handbaggers in a little while after this.
Hey, pig. This is Judy Tenuta, the love goddess, and you're listening to Queercast. It makes my hormones slam dance. It could happen.
The Windy City Queercast is brought to you in part by Broadway in Chicago and Legends, a comedy by James Kirkwood about big stars, big egos, and big hair, starring Dynasty stars Joan Collins and Linda Evans. Playing now. For tickets, visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
And I am joined by a whole smattering, I'm so thankful, a whole smattering of the cast from Caged Dames, the remounted, incredible Hell in a Handbag production, playing now at the Bailiwick. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
And that's the sound of a cast after a show. But it was a really good show. tonight. Such an incredible crowd. I want to start with David Serta, who many of our listeners know and have seen him putting his makeup on and getting party or something backstage.
Something.
David, tell us what Caged Dames is about. Bring us up to speed.
Well, Peter, Caged Dames is a parody of 1940s and 50s women in prison films, the film noir period, and it's sort of combination exploitation, combination film noir, combination heavy melodrama, tale of caution, and actually it's based on a movie, Caged, from 1950, and it's considered the queen of all women in prison movies, and actually, to me, it's a very good film. It was pretty groundbreaking for the time.
Well, speaking of women in prison, I am surrounded by many inmates and the only lone member of the clam band who has decided to join us. Thank you for staying. All the rest of the music people cut out on me. But I want to go around and I want you guys really quickly to tell me a little bit about your character and what's her motivation? Or, you know, we'll do it like that. Introduce yourself, though, first for me, baby. She's like, I don't know what to say.
I'm Patricia Austin. I play Betty Parker. And Betty Parker is kind of a mixture of Jeffrey Dahmer, Betty Crocker, and a little kind of a... what was that movie with Katharine Hepburn? Not Katharine Hepburn. Katharine... anyway, she's a murderous housewife, basically.
Delicious.
She poisoned
Kathleen Turner.
Kathleen Turner. Serial mom. Exactly. And she poisoned her husband by injecting poison into a pot roast.
Delightful.
So she's a little crazy.
She's a little crazy. Next in line. Next on the roster. Next.
Hi, my name is Erlina McLaurin. Earl. I play Earl Jean Washington. Earl Jean Washington is violent, yet I think she has her mothering moments. She's definitely one of the gang. She looks up to Big Lorraine, and she enjoys sort of being a cage dame. Loves power, and is a pretty good fighter.
And next in line.
My name is Michael Miller, and I play Sally O'Toole. And she's this old Irish lifer that's been in there for pretty much most of her life. And she's seen it all, and just kind of...
Grandmother.
Yeah, the grandmother.
The grandmother, the den mom.
Yeah.
With the most delightful makeup, I think, of the show. No offense, ladies.
And the biggest tits.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
True.
They're going south for the
and
winter,
the closest
I think.
To the ground.
And off in the distance is Mr. Ed Jones, who's drooling. Hi, how are you? Who you be?
Yeah, I'm playing a matron, Elsie Emerson. And she's a sadistic prison matron. And if you want to know more, you're going to have to come see the show.
Ooh, spoken like a true producer of the show. And a girl. And next in line is Elsie Emerson's hit woman, henchwoman.
Yes, I'm Derek, and I play Hortense Schnitzenboppel, a.k.a. Schnitzy, as Elsie's sniveling sidekick with a little bit of a crush on her supervisor.
Ooh.
Yes.
The Lebanese elements to the show.
Yes.
Never
one
bad thing.
One
of them. Just going to say feet and put that out there and be done with it.
I'm Tina Haglin. I play Big Lorraine, who is the queen bee of the cell block, as David describes her. I'm all mobbed up, you see, so I've paid off the guards, and I pretty much run things, and the prison is my oyster until...
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm Cheryl Snodgrass, and I play Bigger Lorraine, who comes in to knock Big Lorraine off her queen bee throne. I'm a syndicate lady who doesn't belong in jail. She's there voluntarily, so she can't be subpoenaed as a witness for some crimes. So she's just having a blast and doing what she can, and then she's going to get the hell out.
Delicious. And next in line, the last lady we have with us.
I'm Adrienne Smith, and I play Myrtle Price. And Myrtle's in for murdering her wife-beaten husband. And I think we'd all agree that Myrtle's safer on the inside because she's been knocked around so much by her husband that I think her tiny pea brain has been dislodged a bit. So it's really safer for her to be in a structured environment than on the outside.
And also joining us is the lone member of the clan band who's decided to stick with us. Tell us about yourself. Who are you?
I'm Aaron Smith, and I am the drummer for the Clam Bandits. And I'm doing it because David asked me to, and I'll do anything for David except wash his skanky underwear.
That's my job.
He doesn't wear underwear backstage.
I started playing drums when I was like 12, and I played all through junior high and high school, and I quit during college, and I hadn't played for like 15 years, and so I started up again like 4 years ago, and I was in a band.
Don't you play for a band now, Aaron?
I do play in a band now. The band I'm playing with now is called Big Girls Eat Cake.
Excellent.
And one of my bandmates is Taylor Ross, who actually introduced me to David. And so, and Taylor and I helped do some music for Scary, and that's kind of how I fell in with this, met these people and worked with them and everything.
Isn't that bizarre how all leads road back to David? All roads lead back to David.
He is truly the zeitgeist. It really blows from him. And we are grateful for that.
Awesome. I gotta be good for something.
Good for a lot of things.
But yeah, Big Girls Eat Cake is a very fun band. So you should have them on the show.
I should. Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Get the, absolutely. No, definitely. As we approach the warmer months, we're gonna move out of our theater stuff. But tell me, for a couple of you have been with Handbag before. Who's new to Handbag with this production? And tell me your stories. What got you here?
Tell me, girl.
$5 and a cigarette.
This is Erlina McLaurin. Actually, a friend emailed me and said that there is this audition and they really needed someone for the part and that I was perfect and that the character's name was even named Earl. And I said, oh, what the hell? And I went just really on a whim and got the call back and was like, wow.
She was. She's like, I don't usually get called.
You're like, what?
And I'm okay.
What do I do now? Yeah.
And what did you find when you came into this supremely eclectic group?
Well, the first time I did the show, I was struggling with a lot of allergy problems, so I couldn't talk, and I wasn't really able to, like, get out and really be part of the family. Mm-hmm. Sort of Adam's family.
Monsters.
Yeah. But now that everything's all back to normal, we are just so tight backstage, and I feel very, very, very blessed to be part of
literally,
this production.
Literally, we've seen it back there.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got like 5 inches.
People stepping blessed. On me and she, no. It's good. Cheryl?
Well, I had heard from a good friend of mine who I hadn't worked in 17 or 18 years. We went to college together, and he was hoping to direct this play, and he just asked me to audition. I hadn't been on the stage in a long time, but I loved the script, and it looked like it would be a lot of fun. So they cast me, and I was thrilled, and it's been a really fun time ever since. Everybody's very generous.
What was the most unexpected thing about this bandit? This gang of bandits.
Oh, well, their generosity, really. I hadn't been with actors this mature in a long time.
No, but I mean, it's just...
Oh my God, you are not hearing all the fart jokes back
soon. We got her fooled. Well, yes, and you've done a good job of it. No, I just feel like everybody is very considerate, caring. It's a great group of people to work with. I'd hang out with them even if I wasn't in a play with them.
Aww. And we're bitchy too, don't
yeah, oh,
that.
And very clever.
Audrey Ann?
Well, actually, I feel like a lot of the last 10 years of my career have been preparing me for this. I was with a company for a long time called the Free Associates, and we did improvised parodies of a lot of different theater and literature and film styles. So a lot of our shows have come really close to handbag shows in the past.
Right.
Disaster movies and Hitchcock. And I had actually wanted us to do a Women in Prison improvised show. But it never got off the ground, and so when I saw the notice that they were looking for a director for the show, I said, oh, no, I want to be in that. So when I got the audition notice, I came on over, and they were laughing at me right away, and I just thought, oh, good, yeah. It's going well.
And the day you got the part, what were you thinking?
Oh, I was just happy. I was already doing a show, and it's an incredible feeling to be doing a show and know it's ending and you have your next project lined up. So I was really thrilled.
And then for those of you old-timers who are old handbags with handbags.
Who you calling old?
what keeps you coming back to the productions? Anybody?
I'll go.
Do it to me.
One of the things that in theater you get to perform a lot of different kinds of shows, dramas, comedies, whatever, but a lot of times you're part of a show that no matter how hard you work on it, the audience just doesn't love it. Or it's just not going the way it should go, but I've been a member for 7-8 years, and one of the things about performing David's work is you know the audience is going to love it. You know they're going to have a great time, and therefore you have a great time because you're going out there giving them something that you know they're going to enjoy, and that's really good because it doesn't always happen that way.
And Mike, what does that translate to? What do they love about it? What do you think they love about it?
The shows?
Yeah.
They love the comedy and the songs. I mean, it's all original, but you can relate to it because it's a parody of something. And it's very endearing. The way David writes it, it's very endearing. It doesn't take a hard poke at it. It takes a loving poke at the material that it's based on.
It's totally accessible.
Derek, what do you love about the company?
It's fun. It's a lot of fun to have fun. With fun people.
Come on, Derek.
Go to the play.
I'm a writer, by the way. I think actually something that I remembered very clearly was what David wrote in his author's notes and then in the CD liner notes for Poseidon. He had something along the lines of like parodies can be very mean, but what we're going for is camp with heart, kind of thing, and I think that's what appealed to me the most about the shows that we do, is that, like Mike was saying, you know, we make fun in such a loving way of mm-hmm. popular movies, television shows, pop culture, and have so much fun with it that people eat it up, and we eat up performing it, so...
Excellent.
It makes me want to keep coming back for more.
It's true.
And we want everybody to come back for more. Ed, tell folks how they can find out information about the show and when it's playing through.
They can visit our website at www.handbagproductions.org.
And what's the show run?
We are running on weekends, Friday nights at 7, Saturday nights at 10 p.m. until March 3rd.
What number can you call to make reservations?
Handbag hotline.
No!
Oh, the mailing box.
773-883-1090.
Oh, that's such a lovely Chicago reference. We love it. And with that, thank you all so much.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Peter.
Come see the show, folks. You have to see it because I'm backstage, and that's why you have to see
and
it.
And he's fabulous backstage.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. Thank
liquor
you.
For you all later.
Woo!
Folks, we'll be right back after this.
Does it have to start right now?
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
Oh, I've been waiting, yeah, no.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Podshow and Limelight.